We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. In the studio, as always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst slash numbers guru, Richard Hoskins.
What's going on, everybody? How about a shout-out to a place that's near and dear to my heart? Normal, Illinois.
Normal, Illinois.
Some great cars coming out of Normal.
What came out of Normal, Illinois?
All DSMs. All Neons.
What did you just say? DSM.
DSM.
What is that?
What's that, huh?
Diamond Star Motors.
Okay, Diamond. Yeah, back in the day.
Mitsubishis.
Okay. Mitsubishis.
Okay. Why can't you just speak normal?
Because they're called DSMs.
You thought they're DSMs.
Plymouth Neons, well, that Plymouth Dodge Neon also, Plymouth is the one we'll be hitting on, some great cars, great.
Look at you rubbing your chin and getting all excited over
great there. American cars. Great,
Dodge Neons, great cars.
And he's sitting there talking about Plymouth, so he's getting all excited.
Although, okay, I got a good one on this, but I want to bring you in, Kobe. And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours, legal counsel slash all real cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
So now, an interesting tidbit. The guy that designed the Dodge Viper designed the Neon also?
I don't know.
I think it is almost positive. I read that somewhere, and I normally don't read stuff about Dodges. It was by accident that I came across that. Like,
that's the right time frame.
But the guy that designed it, he also did some work for Lamborghini, which at the time
was owned by Chrysler.
And something about help with designing some urinals or something. No, just kidding. I'm just messing.
Make some good urinals in the Normal.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, so, I mean, this guy went from designing, which the Neon was.
I didn't mind the Neon.
It was okay. You know, it was an economy car, and I love the angle. You know, remember the commercials with, hi. You know, yeah. I mean, it's just, hi. And but they had the cool colors, you know, the lime green and
yep. Nitro yellow green.
Yeah, that too. And I'm not a fanboy. I'm just saying. And then, but then they had the little racing series for them, and that was cool. Like that was a cool way. Like you know, when they come out with it, like you don't see a Chevy Spark racing series.
No, I don't think you're going to.
That's a bad name for a car. Spark.
If Smitty, he might want to start one. Isn't that the car that he loves so much?
No, the Bolt. The Volt or Bolt or whatever it was.
Volt or Bolt.
He got all excited about that. That kind of scared me a little bit. Yeah. It's torquey. It's just torquey. I mean, just the way he said it made me feel uncomfortable.
Makes me want to go riding a Volt.
I know.
Very dark windows.
Stranger danger. But, you know, the Neons, you know, of course, he had the SRT4. That was a cool ride. That was a cool ride. And everybody's got a shady friend that had one. Have you ever noticed that? I've never seen a straight shooter driving. I've never seen, like you know what I mean? Like, it was always that shady guy that had the SRT4. I don't know.
I have to give a shout out to Kathy at Senex. She's got a pristine
black
leather one.
Okay, so I stand corrected. Daily Kathy driving. Sounds like good people.
That's the one I was telling you about the other day. Yes.
So you know, this is the thing. Like, I remember a guy I used to play cards with had one. And he was like a backup cook at Camp High Tokyo. And so dope on the side. He was that guy. Like, he was always that shady guy. Everybody I met with the SRT4 was shady. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like that was a prerequisite to get an SRT4. Be like, all right, you need to fill out this application.
You got some priors.
What's your side hustle? You know? You know what I'm saying? Well, I'm a part-time pimp. Welcome aboard. You know what I'm saying?
Sign here.
Yeah, exactly. You good. But everybody, and they were fast, though, and you could do a little work to them, and you can make them lethal. You can make those things really stout.
Make them stupid fast.
You can make those things where they'd outrun a 5-liter Mustang. Remember back in the day when everybody, that was like the high point. Like, I think you need a 5-liter Mustang live.
It is the yardstick.
Usually it was a guy with a 305 Camaro that said it, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I think it'd eat a 5-liter Mustang up. Oh, 5-0 Mustang.
I've seen neons run 85 miles an hour at Greer with very, very little done to them.
That's scary. That's scary. Yeah. That's scary.
Well, who is the guy? I think his name's Keith, with the yellow one that he pulled out of a lake. I bought it for $1,000 because some kid was out playing in it and put it in the lake. He pulled it out. It's yellow. It's not a pretty car. But it used to be the fastest stock turbo one in the world recorded.
And now it's a submarine.
Ran like 740s. No, this was after it was a submarine.
Oh.
He pulled it out of a lake and got it running and turned it into, a drag car.
Who's the guy on Facebook? And I'm horrible with names, you know, but then the guy on Facebook's got one's like a Salt Flats, like top speed. But it's not even an SRT4. It's just like a regular neon, but it's got like moon discs on it and like all smoothed out and stuff. Like I've seen that thing behind me. I would just like pull over on the side of the road and let him by.
Especially if it's doing like 160.
I mean, I know the other neons, the little four cylinder, whatever motor was in them.
They all had the 2.0 in them.
I just know they were very good on
2-liter. Well, yeah, the 2-liter. They had different 2-liters. There were a few different. There was on the first gen when they made the coupes. There was 2-liter twin cam, and then there was 2-liter single overhead cam.
I just know they were very good on gas mileage.
Yeah,
economy. Nothing sells cars like
you can fill it up for $10 and drive it for 2 days or 2 weeks. But $10, drive 2 weeks.
I think neons got ruined for me because this was back in my CarMax days, and I've seen so many of those things. Yeah, for some reason, I think CarMax and the lease department with Chrysler must have been in cahoots because, like, we got every damn neon that came off lease, and they would all come in. I mean, just we never got cool ones either. We always got, you know, the dinky ones, but I don't know. We weren't in the cool neon lease department.
No smoking sticker on the dash.
Yeah, glorified rental cars. That, we got a load of Mazda 626s one time. They were all white. We had like 30. They were identical. We had to sandbag putting them on the lot. Like, we put two out at a time. And, like, we would jazz them up with different hubcaps.
Go to Pep Boys.
They were all base model 626s. I remember those. And, like, we had 30 of them.
Did they have the dash vents that swing back and forth?
I don't remember.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's
button to turn that off.
Yeah.
That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, they were trying to say you couldn't give them away. Then we had a load of Sentras, too, the same way. They were all green. This one weird, like, teal. Kelly. No, it was like a Kelly green. And we had, like, 20 of them. And we used to have the stripe guy come by, the sticker vinyl guy. And he would put, like, fancy stripes on them. And it made it worse. I mean, there's no way to make it good. And, like, we put, like, the coolest chrome Pep Boy hubcaps on there. And you just couldn't get rid of them. But anyway, back to neons. I thought the racing neons were cool.
The ACR, American Club Racer?
See, he knows this stuff.
I remember seeing those races on TV.
Yeah, that was a hot thing.
You said you owned one, didn't you?
I had an SRT4, yeah. And then I had a 2002 regular neon, and I almost died in both of them. So, even though I love SRT4s.
You ever thought God was telling you something about Dodges?
I think it's telling me something about neons. I'd love to have an SRT4, a nice one today, but I kind of swore off them. Two times, you know what they say about the third time. It's usually...
It's a charm? I don't know. It's happy. I'm hoping. I've been married twice. What do you say if I get married again? What happens?
You're not going to get married again, and I'm not going to get another SRT4.
Okay, good enough. Okay, we can agree on that one.
All right.
So, moving on. Now, Eddie, you're talking about Plymouth. How about the Breeze? You want to talk about a ground-shaking car? The Breeze.
Yeah.
That's the length. I mean, they named that car after a damn air freshener.
Well, no, they named it. Those were the cloud cars, the Stratus, the Cirrus, and the Breeze. That was Plymouth, Dodge, Plymouth, and Chrysler.
So if they made an RT edition, it would have been the Thunderstorm?
Well, they ended up making Stratus RTs, which wasn't very track.
You know what? I just realized that they are named after clouds.
Yeah, they're called the Cloud Cars.
It's the Meteorology series.
I never really paid attention to that.
You read
I came
way
from
too
a
much.
Chrysler family.
Yeah, I guess so. I just have I didn't really pay attention to it.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't know. I know we got to take a commercial break. Guys, stay tuned. We got more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. In the studio, as always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst slash Dodge guru, Richard Hoskins. I thought you got a Corvette.
I did.
Those are the cloud. He's geeking out on us.
I know.
I feel like he's relapsing. Like, I'm glad the weekend's coming up. We need to get this guy in the Corvette and get him riding around and get some that good GM mojo going.
Get the blood flowing back through him again.
To the brain.
He's starting to get stale.
Speaking of getting back into Dodges, well, how about a big shout out to our buddy Greg Dyroff? I know he lives up north. I can't think of what city offhand. I talk to him almost every day, but
I don't know exactly where he lives.
His name is G-Reg.
Old G-Reg.
And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours Legal Counsel / All Around Cool Car Guy, Kobe Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
All right.
Well, so, don't forget, if you hear this little voice off to the side,
yes,
had someone stop by to visit.
We had our buddy Ricky from Sonic Tools come by. And he came by just to visit with us. Mm-hmm. Drove. He comes rolling in like either Mafia or a dope man in a black AMG Mercedes.
Yeah.
Like, literally, when I've seen the car first pull up, because it came in kind of fast, I'm like, crap, they found me. And then I'm like, oh, it's just Ricky. It's cool. It's cool.
It's my Ed Bolian fan car.
Exactly. It's cooler than Ed Bolian, so. I mean, it's not the silver blue, you know, and all that stuff. It's black. Like, that's Mafia Hitman style stuff. You know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Rolling deep.
That's what I'm saying. Just looking. Get that look. You know, I don't want nobody to confuse my Mercedes for a Camry.
True.
You know what I'm saying.
I just hate it that every once in a while you look at a tag on it, it says Daimler Chrysler.
That's horrible.
Yes.
It's not horrible. It's Heritage.
That's what?
It's Heritage.
That's, yeah.
Possibly
that
made.
That's Heritage. All right. So moving on. Dead brands. We're talking about dead brands and the last cars they made.
That's it. And this next one, too bad our buddy Tim isn't here. Shout out to Brampton, Ontario for the last of the AMCs.
Really?
1988. It was an Eagle wagon.
Oh, man. You remember
those things.
Those things were weird.
They were. My uncle had one. I thought it was kind of cool. Actually, four-wheel drive?
Yeah. Well, you know, there's actually a Pro Street one for sale on Marketplace right now.
I can't believe they made them until 88.
I didn't think they were made that long. I thought it was like earlier 80s.
Well, I remember the last one I saw was in the first Back to the Future. Remember Marty McFly's girlfriend's dad had one.
Yeah, my uncle bought one, and it was four-wheel drive and all that stuff. He was so proud of that car.
It's like you want a Blazer, but you want a station wagon with wood grain.
You know, some cars are kind of ugly when they're new, and then out like 30 years later, you look at them and like, oh, it's not that ugly. This is not one of those cars.
It's still ugly.
His was like
a hatchback.
Yeah, it was a hatchback one.
It's not like a straight
no,
wagon.
No, it's slowly.
It's almost like a four-wheel drive Chevy Citation.
Yes,
basically.
Yes. I was thinking of that. Either
the
a Citation or
AMX version of them.
Excuse me, I got choked up on that.
I'll show you.
Yeah.
You know, I will tell you, speaking of wood grain and cars that I thought were hideous when they first came out that I like now, and it, believe it or not, it's a damn Chrysler product.
What?
Grand Wagoneers.
Yeah. I do like Grand Wagoneers.
Great outdoors times.
Yeah.
You couldn't give me one. Literally. I didn't like them at all. Now, I'm starting to like them a little bit. I don't know if I necessarily own one, but I'm starting to like them.
They're cool.
I watched the Wheeler Dealers when they redid one.
Yep, but right there.
Settle for a Roadmaster wagon.
That right there is just that's.
It's like the AMC Trans Am.
And they had Dukes of Hazzard. Put that down.
They had a V8 in them.
Yeah, you could go 304.
That's what his had.
Had like 125 horsepower.
Yeah, his had 125 horsepower.
Yeah, they weren't very powerful.
Did it only have four spark plugs in it? I mean, how does that work?
That's
nuts.
My uncle, he was always like that AMC kind of guy.
He was that weird uncle.
He was. He was.
Was he into Star Wars and stuff?
No. But he owned like an AMX drag car, and you know, he was just that guy, and he got that four wheel drive one. He was so proud
what
of that.
What a hit with the ladies, was he?
Well, I don't know. My aunt.
I never saw him with one, but you know.
Well, he had my aunt, but, you know, but I don't know.
That's it.
Oh, just think if you had a Trans Am. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You might have had several aunts. You know what I mean? It might have totally changed history, you know? All right, so we're getting off of this right now because this is just bad.
Yeah, that was it.
We went from Chryslers to talking about damn AMCs. I mean, this is just something about
we're snowballing.
Right
we're
now.
Snowballing yeah. real bad.
Moving on.
That was all on the AMC. All right, well, this next one is a company that really did, like, it's going to get some laughs, but changed the automotive world forever. Saturn.
You know, Saturn was that very different car company, you know, and they weren't bad cars, really.
They're still all over the road.
They are. Yeah. They're tough, you know, for what they are.
Pizza delivery cars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not every pizza delivery guy had one.
Yeah, as long as you didn't have a magnetic light to go on top of it. You had to have the suction. That's the reason the suction cup light was invented, because of the Saturns. But, you know, the Saturn was a different car company. Like, I remember when I was in vocational school, we went on a field trip to the Saturn dealership. And, like, you're walking through there, and they were walking us through the service department. And, like, and I mean, and I'm not saying, you know, that, you know, this is, but at the time, keep in mind, this was mid-late 90s. There was, like, girls working in the service department. And, like, you didn't see things like that in dealerships back then. Which, I mean, I don't know if they were necessarily doing the heavy work. But, I mean, either way, I mean, and then they can be. But, like, that was a different, like, that was their whole focus. Was, like, we're a different car company, you know, and all this. And then, like, Richard's talking about the one-price shopping. And it kind of sounds like a cult to me. I don't know. I'm Baptist, so I just can't do anything like that. We go to Chevrolet. Like, when I ride down the Motor Mile, I stop at the Cadillac dealership, at a Chevrolet Cadillac. And that's all you need. From there, it just goes downhill. Dodge Place, all that stuff. You don't need any of that in your life. That's just bad. So we're going to put it right there at the front.
But yeah, like Saturn just had that weird thing. Like it was hard. It was hard to get parts for them.
Well, I mean, it wasn't hard to get parts at Saturn place.
No, at Saturn place, but I'm talking about like parts store, well, big box store, stuff like that.
The aftermarket really wasn't out there for them like that, which they now, make crazy power with some of those things too, though.
They're make a lot of race cars.
Oh, the little front wheel drive, like dirt track round
truck cars. Yeah, they're still
and asphalt.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah, everybody wants some Saturn.
And then
they
came out with a three-door, kind of like the RX-8
thing.
Yeah,
they were the first to do that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had an extended cab coupe.
Yeah.
The Sky, was it the convertible?
Yes. Yeah, well, Professor had one of them.
It did.
He was that. He was different. He liked it.
Better looking than the Pontiac version.
Yes. See, I just said that.
We all agree.
Yep.
I agree. I thought it was a better looking version. It kind of hurt me that they didn't make that one the Pontiac. But either way, I mean, it was definitely a good looking car, though. Definitely a good looking car. I tell you what ain't looking good. These commercial breaks, man, every time. Got to stop. Guys, we got more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour in the studio. We have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst slash numbers guru, the professor himself, Richard Hoskins.
How about a shout out to the bustling street racing town of Trollhättan, Sweden?
The bustling street racing. I actually think I just saw something on 1320.
I think the
which I don't think it would be 1320 there.
It'd be like 2450.
Yeah, can we get the metric conversion of this? But someone do the math.
All the little cops are going to be listening to it on Sunday, going, "Ooh, there's a street racing scene around here."
Where? And then, of course, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel slash RL Cool Car Guy, Cubby Miller.
What's going on, everyone?
So we're talking about brands that went away and the last cars they made. And, you know, Saab is notorious for making quality automobiles.
Yeah, they were the first to have that great idea of putting the transmission under the engine.
Well, that and they were weird. They were different cars. I bought one at the night sale one time, a black 900 turbo convertible. And I'm trying to remember the years, 95, 96, something like that. Black on black, good looking car.
Were you drunk?
Had those Trio kind of wheels. No, it was cheap. And it had like the three spoke wheels on. I mean, like, it was a good looking car. I'm like, man, that's kind of a pimp ride, you know? And I go to get in it, and I got a key. And then it's got a big fat key that comes with them. And I go to start it, and I can't find where he put the damn key in it. And it's in the console. Yeah. That was the first strike. And it was a convertible. Well, the top wouldn't go down on it. And it has all these little sensors for the top. Or like it'd start up and stop. And like it'd hang up. Oh, I hate it. So I finally got the top back down. I didn't touch that anymore. And it was a permanent coupe. But you know, I mean, like, that thing was like the biggest turd, though. And it had like 80,000 miles on it. It was war slap out. It was junk. Total junk. Cool looking car. Great look. Horrible car.
Ordered at D&D in 2005. And this gentleman, this was when SUVs were really hot. Big SUVs, you know, before the economy slipped. And this gentleman brought in a 2001 9000 SE. Like 40,000 miles on it. He's like, "I want to get me an Expedition." I was like, "All right, man, are you sure you want to trade this thing in? Like, maybe not try to sell it yourself?" He's like, "No, take it down, you know, get it appraised."
General sales manager, used car manager, laughs you out of the building.
Here's what he said: "I don't even have to drive it. Tell him we'll give him $4,000 for it." He's like, "Okay." So I took it back up, and the gentleman's like,
"What was the used car sales manager's
name?"
Tommy.
Tommy.
He was the guy with like skin cancer. Like his face was like burnt.
No, nah, you're thinking of Vinny.
Vinny, yes. Yeah. He was in the sales.
Mike Thompson was his real name. He went by Vinny.
Yeah. He would insult you when he looked at, when you took a car. I used to hate taking trade-ins down because he was that guy. He was always like, you know, like he was doing you a favor to look at it. And like you'd bring it down. And I brought a guy out of Ford truck. I'm a Chevrolet truck, like a 88. Chevrolet short bed pickup truck, four-wheel drive. His beat to death. It was junk. And literally, I drove it down there. It had a wheelbarrow in the back. He said, "I'll give $400 if he leaves a wheelbarrow in it." Like, I mean, he would say things like that. Like, just. How much change is in the ashtray? Like, I mean, is it that bad, you know? But it was. But Saabs were horrible, the resale on them. Like, you know, it's bad. When you buy a new car, understandable, that you're going to lose instantly as soon as you drive it off the lot.
It was a
Saab. You could literally crank it up, and it's automatically half value. You didn't even move it yet.
The car was 4 years old, and it had 45,000 miles on it, and it cost $40,000 in 2001. In 2005, it was a favor. Just tell him we'll give him $4,000 for it. I don't even need to drive it.
What did the guy say to you? Do you remember?
We'll give him $4,000 just to keep it.
That's what I try to talk him into. Like, man, I don't know that you want to trade this thing in. Maybe keep it as a second car? I don't know. He was offended, and I'm going to be honest, I can't remember whether he ended up. I don't think he ended up buying a car from us.
As a rule, when you tell him, he probably owed more on it. Then.
You just lost $31,000.
You're down 90% in 4 years. Maybe you should learn to love this car again.
I mean, what's the payoff on it? $31,000? Yeah. Horrible.
Weren't they horrible. Designed by airplane engineers?
Yes, though. Yes, yeah, Saab was. And
you know what's scary as hell is Saab making airplanes. Could you?
They got the propeller under the fuselage.
Could you imagine? I mean, could you imagine? You know, I mean, and I'm sure, you know, everybody's got their strong suit. Maybe they should have stuck with the airplanes. But, I mean, could you imagine if the Saab airplanes ran like the Saab 900S? That's bad.
The gas line wheezing and out.
I mean, it's like leaking oil on people going to them. Is that a bird poop on me? No, it's a Saab plane. It's leaking oil on me.
The gas line runs through the header.
Speaking of the last ones made, weren't they?
They made
GM cars and they had turbos on them.
They were owned by GM, and they actually made an SUV that was a Trailblazer.
Yeah, that was LS.
But the last one made was a 9.3.
Yes, which was basically a 900.
It was the new version.
Yeah, version of the 900.
And 900s actually work. You've driven one, obviously. When working well, they're very fun to drive.
They're peppy cars.
They're quite fast.
I mean,
I would like to drive. If one of my buddies had one, I'd want to drive it.
Like there's nothing like the dash in them because they kind of got an instrument cluster kind of reminds you like a BMW. And, like, it didn't have, like, a check engine light on. It had, like, 34 lights on.
And most of them are usually on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, like when you turn your ignition switch on and, like, you know, it goes through all the little settings and the lights come on. That's like it was when it was running. They were all, every light was on.
It didn't go off.
None of them did. The seatbelt light was the only one when you put it on. But it was bad. It was horrible bad. But, and I never heard anybody brag about the Saab.
Yeah.
Even Saab owners talk trash about Saabs.
It's a very eclectic group.
It is. It's right there with the Murata guys.
Now I wouldn't talk about Muratas that way. But.
All right. Let's move on to our next one.
All right. Well, another one. We'll take us back to Normal, Illinois. Eagle. You remember Eagle?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Assad from the Talon, even though I think that was actually
the
last
TSI? That was the Talon.
Talon TSI.
But they made the Concorde.
They did make the Concorde.
Which was the LHS.
Yep.
And before the Concorde was the Premier, which actually had the same 2.85 PRV motor from the DeLorean. Yeah, you probably don't remember this.
Mind blowing.
It was square. It looked like yeah.
It looked like,
yeah,
it looked like
exactly.
A Cressida.
Yeah.
A Toyota Cressida.
Yeah.
Yep.
But it was a...
Had the PRV motor in it. So you know that was...
Choose your Renault and...
you know that was a killer.
Super.
Now, a lot of people took the Talons and made some pretty bad.
No, the all-wheel drive Talons were bad news.
They were.
When
they come out in the racing world, they were.
Well,
they were bad.
You're talking about that old DSM stuff. I mean, like the Eclipses and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Probably one of the fastest import cars I ever rode in was actually a Turbo Eclipse. It was a bad. I mean, it was hot, but I mean, it was a cool, extremely unreliable, but it was extremely fast ride when everything was working. It was good, like it was. Like I rode to Myrtle Beach in this thing. And, like, it had, like, we didn't have eBay coilovers then, but whatever the cheapest thing you could possibly buy coilover-wise, that's how it was lowered. And this thing set probably 3/4 inch off the ground. Riding all the way to Myrtle Beach with sunroof back because the air didn't work. And all I heard was, psh, 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 constantly. But that thing would fly. We'd hook up with a Z28 or something, and it couldn't hang with it. That little Eclipse. Like, I mean, like, it would start shaking, and, like, you slam the door on Eclipse, Talon, or, you know, any of those things, and, I mean, like, they're hollow. I mean, it's like a soda can.
You hear the window rattle inside?
Exactly. The Mitsubishi shows. I'll say it like that. You know. But, I don't know. The Eagle, I remember, what did they have? That was a Dodge thing. Remember they had the black, blue, and gray?
That was Eagle.
That was
the sign of the TSI, like on the Vision, and even they had a Premier TSI.
Right. That's what I was about to say. They had like an edition or something.
2.85 in it, so I don't know what was TSI about it, except it was black, gray, and blue.
Well, you know, they said, well, leave it out, I guess. Yeah, but I mean, that was that brand. All it was rebadged stuff.
It was.
Yeah, Eagle had a four-wheel drive, one of them little cars, like the they had a four-wheel drive version car.
Of the Eclipse?
Not the Eclipse. It was actually kind of taller.
Huh.
Car?
Yeah. I'll find it and I'll let you know.
Are you talking about the AMC?
Yeah, it was like...
This is Eagle the brand, which was supposed to be like the new Chrysler version that was going to be the performance version beyond Dodge, except that it wasn't. It's one of those brands that never really needed to exist.
Talk about the LHS. That was another car that didn't. What was it? Cab Ford Design.
Remember it was the LH platform.
Yeah.
Which were great cars, actually, and probably saved Chrysler again.
LH, really?
Yeah, man, they sold millions. No,
they sold a lot of them. They were popular, but the 3.5s and the 2.7s.
3.5s weren't no joke.
3.5s were good engines, though. 3.5, I tell you what's not good is commercial breaks. Every time. Guys, stay tuned. We got more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour in the studio. As always, we have Hot Rods and Happy Hour's financial analyst slash numbers guru, Richard Hoskins.
What's going on, everybody? How about a shout out to a place that really is a fame, just full of racing history, Cologne, Germany.
Heard it smells good there.
It's better. I heard it smells French.
When you said I smell polo.
Polo. Oh. I'm telling you, microtail. The store for another time. Anyway, and then of course we have Hot Rods and Happy Hours legal counsel. And all around cool car guy, Kobe Miller.
Well, this one here brings back a lot of memories that we're fixing to get into.
It does. This is a good one. We've got, so everybody remembers the Geo car brand. The Geo brand was kind of a hodgepodge of different things.
It was all different things.
You got to think about it. You had the Toyota Tercel, which was
the Prism,
right? And then you had was the Tercel the Prism or was it the Corolla?
Corolla was Prism,
right? Yeah, the Corolla was the Prism. Yeah, the Geo Storm, which was kind of
Zuzu.
Yeah, it was Zuzu. Yeah, and then you had the Metro, which was also Chevy Sprint,
which was also the Suzuki
Swift.
Yeah. Yeah. God, man, this is tough.
And but it was. And then you had the Tracker, which was also a Suzuki. It was the Sidekick, the Tracker was.
Yes, the Sidekick.
So, and Geo, like I said, was all rebrand cars, but those cars were so popular, the three-cylinder cars. There used to be a guy that autocrossed a three-cylinder Sprint turbo. Like, they had a sporty one with, like, ground effects on it. It had, like, the scoop over to one side, kind of where the motor was at, I guess. I don't know, but.
Yeah, it was off. That was where the intercooler was.
Yeah.
It was off to
That was definitely a different ride, but they claim it was actually fast for what it was.
The magazine article for the Sprint Turbo said that it was faster across an intersection than a 5.0 Mustang. Across an intersection.
It eats them 5 liters alive.
Across the intersection.
For 16 foot.
And that thing gets.
Mustang stops spinning.
And this bad boy gets 62 miles to the gallon.
So we can 16 foot you to death.
The Mustang hooks up, and then that's pretty much over. But
so, yeah, the Geo Storm. The Geo Storm was no real big powerhouse or anything, but that was the sport car of the.
They were cool. I mean, like, remember they were like high school.
Remember
cool.
That fuchsia color they had on these things?
Yeah, one of my best friends in high school had one. We drove through a fence once.
Remember, there was a chick in high school that had the Tracker that was fuchsia, too.
That's right.
I mean, those things are just, there's so many Geo stories.
My brother and his friend Fred didn't make that turn on Villa Road, ended up on 385 in a Geo Storm.
Airborne.
That's quite the cliff, if you know.
Yes, that's crazy in a Geo Storm.
Probably a lot of screaming on that ride down.
Well, of course, when I was in high school, of course, being in Florida, there was a lot of females that had the Trackers.
You know what? The Tracker was a cool vehicle, really and truthfully. I mean, it was, you got to take it for what it is. Yep. Is it a serious off-road machine? No. Is it a cool little beach cruiser that you can drop the top on? This cheap. That I'll be honest with you, and I'm not a Jeep guy. I know I'm going to get some flack for this, but I hate Jeeps. I'm not a Jeep guy. I've owned a couple of them. I'm not a Jeep. I would rather have a damn Tracker to drive than a Jeep. Period. And I'm just not a Jeep guy like that.
They drive better, really.
They do drive better.
And you can turn them around on a 2-lane road.
Yeah,
you can turn around in a 1-lane road.
Runway road.
But, like, the hunting guys love those things.
Yeah. They can go anywhere.
Well, you got to think about it.
And you don't care what happens.
It's cheaper than a 4-wheeler. It's about the same size as a big four-wheeler. Four people can ride it, and it has heat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can't. It's hard to beat. And then, you know, you can't ride your four-wheeler to the Piggly Wiggly. You can jump in the Tracker and go to the Piggly Wiggly in it.
I remember in high school, a girl, Jennifer, she had one of the pinkish ones.
Yeah,
with
fuchsia.
Yeah, whatever it was with the white top.
Magenta.
Yeah.
Magenta. That was a... They were different. They had that seafoamy green color.
Excellent marketing. I mean, yeah, they took...
Well, it's like Scion. Scion took the same approach. Scion was the Geo of the 2000s.
Yeah.
The next generation. You know, basically, they didn't make anything either.
No.
It was all rebrand.
And, I mean, really...
Well, the X...
They were all Toyota-based. What Geos, though, is they took generally crap cars, they painted them in fun colors, they put, you know, a bunch of crazy colors on the seats and stuff, and people bought them.
Yeah.
They actually sold well.
And they sold to the, I'll never drive a Japanese car people, because they were Chevys.
Yeah. It's
I mean, they weren't,
it's a good one. No.
It's like the 80s Chevy Nova.
Oh, that's horrible.
So what about the Suzuki's?
Suzuki's still around. They just don't sell cars here anymore. But yeah, I mean, they had the Samurai, the Sidekick. Yeah. They even had like some little pocket rocket like bread boxes in the early 2000s. I mean, they sucked, but they made them.
Suzuki cars never took off here. The Samurai was the only one that really remotely did well. You know, those things, when they first came out, they had a two-stroke version of it.
Yes.
Yeah, other parts of the world, they had diesels.
Yeah, they had diesel ones, but they had a two-stroke version.
That would be fun.
A two-stroke Samurai?
Yeah, you drop that thing at 8,000 and
just let it wind up.
Get up to 42 mile an hour.
My dad and my brother had them in Puerto Rico, and we'd take my brothers out, and you could literally rev it to the moon, pop the clutch in four-wheel low, and it will stand up and almost hit the bumper.
Really?
Yeah.
See, that's the fun thing. Every time I see a Suzuki Samurai, I think about this guy we went to school with. His name was Robert Burnett. He had a navy blue Samurai with 14 by 12 Daytons on it. Remember, it had the wide.
Big 18s.
And had two big subwoofers in the back of it. And we thought that was the coolest thing ever. Like, ain't it cool?
Easy E drove one.
Oh.
I swear to God.
Yeah, I actually.
Like, we went to school with him, too?
No.
What?
Did Ice-T have one?
I mean, he might have. I know Eazy-E did because he rapped about it a little bit.
Yeah, he did. I remember hearing that. And then I seen it in a magazine or something one time.
Yeah, but I remember that.
Like
with
a car audio magazine.
The Daytons and
all that. Like, I mean, you know. I mean,
his was red, if I'm not mistaken.
Because wire wheels on your
what else
Samurai.
Says off-road, like 13-inch Daytons and white walls.
Eazy-E had 13-inch Daytons and white walls, and
I mean,
it was red.
But that was kind of a popular thing back then. I think old Will Castro from Unique Whips, he started out with those.
It's because they're
that.
Cheap. They were cheap. Yeah. Any cheap car, people are going to buy because it's all they can afford, and then you can put any money that you didn't use buying a decent vehicle.
On Daytons.
See, I would love to have a really nice one right now.
Well, now they're classics.
Yeah. They're just
that's
they're
crazy.
Cool
you ever thought you would say
never
that?
Never thought that.
Do you think somebody's going to say that about the Kia Sportage one day?
No.
The Kia Sportages, when they first came out, they went the Tracker path. They weren't open.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, the convertible thing and all that stuff. But I don't know. I think a Tracker style vehicle would do decent.
I do too.
If you can get one to pass safety standards so that you can legally build it, yeah. Same as little trucks.
But, I think it would actually, and made it cheap.
To compete against the Jeep.
But that's the thing, like the Scion went away, the Geo went away. They don't want to make a cheap car anymore like that, I don't think.
I don't think they do.
Well, and there's too many cars to make like a niche car. There's too many cars available already to make four different versions of the same car. Which is why not Pontiac so much, but like the later Saturns that were just rebadged Chevys, things like that.
Oldsmobiles.
Yeah, Oldsmobiles. There's no reason for them. You know, it's not like in the 60s when, you know, there were five brands and they had two cars each.
Well, I mean, that's another big thing, too. I mean, and then of course, you know, like Mercury. Mercury, I mean, what? And we were talking about this. When was the, like, what was the last Mercury, true Mercury car that wasn't a rebadge Ford? I mean, you got to get back into the mid-70s, maybe? I mean, that's nuts.
It was a long time ago.
That's a long time. Not, I mean, basically just to have rebadged rebadge stuff. Man, this was a fun show.
It was a fun show. This Glad you came up with this one, Richard.
This was a good one, Professor. I don't care what anybody's going to say about it.
All right. We'll see.
Guys, I want to thank you for playing along. You've been listening to Hot Rods and Happy Hour right here on 106.3 WORD.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.